Somebody shout hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Beloved, you are welcome to the episode 8 of the season 5 of Biblical Furnaces. In the previous episode, in episode 7, we talked about trust. We cited the fact that trust helped Nehemiah to motivate the workers reporting to him. We also noted the importance of correct assignment of tasks. In other words, it's vital for us to have the skills of appropriate delegation. Nehemiah's ability to assign work to the right person helped him to use the skills and talent at his disposal well. We have to even today have such a skill in order to have a measure of success wherever we are leading. Today we turn to the God factor in the rebuilding journey of Nehemiah. Our text is taken from Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 20 to 23. Nehemiah 4:20-23, and I read from the NLT version from verse 20. When you hear the blast of the trumpet, that is Nehemiah speaking to his folks, rush to wherever it is sounding, then our God will fight for us. We walked early and late, from sunrise to sunset, and half the men were always on guard. I also told everyone living outside the walls to stay in Jerusalem. That way, they and their servants could help with guard duty at night and work during the day. The final verse. During this time, none of us, not I, nor my relatives, nor my servants, nor the guards who were with me, ever took off our clothes. We carried our weapons with us at all times, even when we went for water. May the Lord bless the reading and hearing of his word in the mighty name of Jesus. We can see this level of alertness and commitment in verse 23. But our anchor text today is verse 20. That says, when you hear the blast of the trumpet, rush to whatever it is sounding. Then our God will fight for us. Our key phrase is, our God will fight for us. Our God will fight for us. Now let's look at the situation. As Nehemiah led the Jews to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, opposition rose up to discourage them on our side. The situation worsened when Sanballat, Tobias, and Geshem threatened to kill them unless they stopped the work. However, instead of listening to their enemies, to the opposition, Nehemiah and the builders, all the rebuilders, called on God to fight for them in verse 20, as I've read repeatedly. Beloved, when we are faced with challenges of life, our first consideration must be God. That is what that verse is telling us. Not our skills, not our networks, not our qualifications, not our bank account. But our first consideration must be God. So Nehemiah and the Jews prayed for God's help, protection, and wisdom. And he duly obliged them. That's why they could finish in 52 days. God rose up and fought on their behalf to ensure the completion of the work as mentioned in the previous episode of Biblical Furnaces. Now let's inspire ourselves. There are many verses that really attest to the fact that God, even today, is there fighting our battles for us. Beloved, we must know that God is fighting for his children, you and I. They are nine, 24/7. 2 Chronicles 32:8 says, with us is the Lord our God. To do what? To help us and fight our battles. So if God is fighting our battles, why must we stress? Why must we compromise? Even when we see opposition from unexpected quarters. In fact, according to Psalm 35 verse 1, the Lord will fight against those who fight against you and I. This is our portion. This is our heritage. All we need to do is to hide ourselves under his refuge. Hide ourselves under his banner, and he will keep fighting for us as he did for Nehemiah in the mighty name of Jesus. So God fought for his chosen vessels, and God fights today for his chosen vessels. He provides cover and protection for us because he is our God. He is our God that is different from any other gods, with the letter, small letter G. He's a God that is impeccably perfect. He's a God that is tirelessly strong. He's not fatigued. And he's our God that is unquestionably capable to undo any foe. So how do God fight for us? How do our God fight for us? Like God did for Nehemiah and other fathers of faith, he deploys his creation to defend us. His creation in the form of angels, even the weather, he can speak to them, and other resources. His fight is aimed at keeping us in good health, keeping our family in good health, keeping the resources that he has given to us moving forward. His fight is to keep our faith intact. So when the odds are against us, like it was against Nehemiah, we must, as children of God, record that God fight for us. That is just an inspiration from this verse 20. In fact, the last phrase, our God will fight for us. Beloved, if we return to our text, we may ask, how vulnerable were the workers and Nehemiah? In particular, when we read verse 23 again. I'm going to read verse 23 again. It says, during this time, none of us, not I, nor my relatives, nor my servant, nor my guard who were with me, ever took off our clothes. We carried our weapons with us at all times, even when we went for water. See the level of alertness, vigilance, and commitment, simply because of rumors of war coming from Sanballat and Tobias and his co-travelers. Beloved, in terms of numbers and resources of warfare, Sanballat and co. may appear to have the upper hand. However, the precautions undertook by Nehemiah and the Jews diminished the threat of a surprise attack. So, surprise attack was nullified and neutralized. The dual roles of guard duty and construction worker or construction artisan, bricklayer, etc., did more than provide protection for them when they were doing the work. The roles made the workers multi-skilled, resting them and improving their morale. More importantly, the greatest protection the Jews and Nehemiah had was God himself, in whom they trusted, according to Nehemiah 4:20. So when faced with opposition, who is your greatest protector? Beloved, never make such a protector a fellow man. There will be disappointment. Now let's look at the method of protection or the method of opposition and the method of protection that were deployed in that particular chapter. We note that God defended Nehemiah and the Jews against three methods of opposition, or three ways, mechanism in which Sanballat and co. wants to diminish the work or stop the work. Number one, God defended them against ridicule. He defended them against anger, and he defended them against discouragement. In particular, if you read from chapter 1 to chapter 3. So each one of these methods were meant one-on-one, courageously, with prayer, were met with faith, complete faith, believe in God. And more importantly, it was met with hard work. If you recall the text that we have read, they were walking as guard. They were with their weapons. In the night, they were guiding. In the day, they were doing the work. It was hard work, diligent at its best. So, beloved, we cannot say we are prayerful, we don't exercise faith and expect results. Or we cannot say we have faith, we are prayerful, then there's no work. Remember what is written in Hebrews 11:6. It is impossible to please God without faith. And that faith must have work accompanying it. You must exercise it. So prayer, faith, and hard work gave the work of rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem a momentum that could not be stopped. God will give us a momentum that cannot be stopped by our enemies in the mighty name of Jesus. So, beloved, let us run to a close as we look at practical wisdom for this episode. So, when a leader is on the ascendancy, is on the rise, he or she has momentum. Momentum as a best friend. Momentum is your best friend at a particular time. But when leaders lack momentum, success may become a mirage. Success is not guaranteed. Nehemiah understood this idea very well as he witnessed the lack of momentum, or rather, the fact that the work suffered lack of momentum when opposition ridiculed and mocked the workers and mocked the project. But Sanballat and co. ignored the God factor. They ignored it. When the God factor kicked in, Nehemiah regained momentum. And that shall be our portion in the mighty name of Jesus. Whenever we are losing momentum, the God factor will kick in and we regain what we have lost. So, this is what Nehemiah did in regaining the momentum. Number one, he prayed for the work and the workers. He prayed for the work and the workers doing the work, the rebuilders. Nehemiah 4, 9 to 10. We can read all this at home. Then he created a plan that addressed the problem. He did not shy away from it. He wasn't calling meetings that were not bringing results. He created a plan that addressed the problem. That is leadership. Leadership was not absent. Nehemiah 4, 7, 17. Nehemiah 4, 17 downwards. Then he motivated the best effort from the workers. You recall in the previous episode that what he did by trusting them, it gave them self-motivation. So in this chapter as well, he motivated them so that they can do the work properly. That's in verse 14 of chapter 4. Then he reminded everyone. He reminded them that they are the people of God. And God help is available. That is also available in verse 14. Then he rallied the workforce, all of them, to support each other, to be united. Verse 19 to 20 of Nehemiah 4. So to regain momentum in our endeavors, as we close this episode, we must allow God's space to fight for us. We mustn't fight for ourselves. We must stop that. We must shy away from it. We must avoid it. We must not succumb to such pressures or advice that we must begin to fight for ourselves. Especially when God has not asked us to do any such thing. So the God factor that keeps the momentum of progress on track will be on our side when we allow Him enough space to fight. Beloved, let us pray. Father, thank you for fighting our battles for us. 24/7. Where we have lost the initiative, creativity, and momentum, Almighty God, be our God. Whenever I call your name, Jesus, precious name. Your name is a strong tower, Jesus, way maker. Your name is our way maker. Beloved, if you enjoy this episode, please like us on our various media platforms, and also join us at the Redeemed Christian Church of God Restoration House online or on site in Bloemfontein, South Africa. We welcome comments from you. Please use all our platforms on Facebook as well as YouTube. Till we come to you in the next episode of Biblical Phronesis, may the Lord keep you safe and blessed. May He shower you with divine wisdom daily to succeed in the mighty name of Jesus.